Your relationship with your body is the longest relationship you will ever be in. You must have unconditional permission to eat in order to make peace with food. What is your self-talk like about your body? If you wouldn't say that to a loved one about their body, what makes it okay to say it to yourself? This is a safe virtual space where we are going to dig into deep heart-to-heart combos that all come back to our relationships with food and body. Welcome back to another episode of the Fine Food Freedom Podcast. This is your host, Sam Previtt, and I'm so excited that you're here. Today is the first Wednesday of the month. How the fuck is it already August? That's a question I'm often asking myself every month that floats by. You know how people always say time goes faster as you get older? Well, that is absolutely true for me. I have no idea what day it is, what year it is, yet here we are. But I do know that the first Wednesday of every month on the Fine Food Freedom Podcast, we do a client testimonial. And these are my absolute favorite episodes because I get to bring on our clients, our incredible clients that work with our team of dietitians. Today's client, Steph, is someone who has worked with our team for over 1 year. She's worked with our provider, Alex Spicer, and she shares so much with us today. I think that, you know, anybody who has experienced medical weight stigma, you are going to connect with her story. And some of you may say, what is medical weight stigma? Let's say you go to the doctor and you go in because your knee hurts and they look at you and say, have you tried losing weight yet? That would be considered medical weight stigma. They are judging you and making assumptions on you based on your weight. And so Steph's story is so relatable. And I only know because I have sat with hundreds of clients in session and heard such similar things. And it's so powerful. And I'm so grateful that she shared it with us because I think when others hear that they're not alone in what they're experiencing and how to advocate for themselves, it can be so beneficial. I also think that's so important, like such an important takeaway from today's episode is how Alex, our provider on the Fine Food Freedom team, and a lot of our providers do this in session, is teach clients how to advocate for themselves in medical appointments, whether it's with a doctor, an OT, a PT, a therapist, a dietitian, you name it. It's so important to be your own best advocate. And so I think I love that Steph shares this because so many people think that working with a dietitian, you're only talking about food and kind of like what you expect a session to look like with our team versus something that you may have never thought that we did in session. And if you're listening to this part, please know that if you have not already, I want to encourage you to get your insurance benefits checked. You can click the link in the show notes below. You can click the link in any bio on social media. We accept health insurance. We are licensed in over 23 states now. We have an incredible team of providers. So whether you have a medical condition, you want to work on your relationship with food, body image, you just genuinely want to improve your health and you're so sick of dieting, we would love to support you. So again, click that link, get your insurance benefits checked. And if you don't have coverage, we are going to gift you one free month of support, which includes 3 coaching calls. Okay. So there is no downside. I don't want finances to be the reason that you are not able to get support. So thank you for being here today. I am so, so thankful to Steph for sharing her story. So without further ado, let's get into it with our incredible client, Steph. All right, Steph. So I would love to hear first, if you remember, because I know it was a year ago, but was there like one specific moment that made you say, I want to reach out and I want to get support from Fine Food Freedom? Or was it like a lot of little moments of seeing stuff on social? What was your kind of like that little boost that made you reach out for professional support?
Yeah, honestly, I saw on social that insurance could possibly cover it. And I've been working on kind of managing through intuitive eating for a really long time, for several years now. But my job changed last year and I was finding it really challenging, honestly, to like eat at all. I mean, just finding time to eat. And when I saw that potentially my insurance could cover it, I was like immediately, okay, let me try this. Let me see what happens. So that's what got me started.
That is incredible. That makes me so happy to hear, because you kind of joined on a few months after we started taking insurance, because we started, I believe, in like the beginning of 2024. So with your insurance benefits, how many sessions did you get covered?
I get 12 a year for free.
Incredible. I love that. It makes me so happy. And a lot of people don't know they have these benefits. So thank you for sharing that. And we'll put the link in the show notes below. So anybody listening, if you want to get your benefits checked, you could do that as well. So you are working with currently working with Alex Spicer, one of our incredible dietitians on the team. So when you came in to your sessions with her, like you said, you had been introduced to intuitive eating before, you had kind of been on that journey. So what did you expect the support to look like with Alex and the Fine Food Freedom team versus what did you get? Like, did you have expectations versus what was the reality of that support like?
Yeah, I think my expectation was that it was going to be solely around food and what to eat, how to eat. I don't want to say right. You know, I don't love the terms around food, like to label it, but ideas on food specifically. And it really turned out to be more helping me learn how to manage my feelings around food, how to manage my feelings around my body, how to make sure that I'm taking care of myself, but also give myself grace. And when that's really difficult to do, my schedule is really, really tough. Lots of days I will be on the phone literally from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. without a break in the middle. I travel probably about 20 to 25 times a year. Some of those trips can be a week. Some of those trips can just be overnight. So trying to just make sure I eat, it can be really complicated and difficult sometimes. And I have a lot of feelings around that. And I have a lot of, you know, worries and guilt. And also, you know, I'm fat. Fat's not a bad word. But in this new era of people are taking weight loss medications, I feel like acceptance is changing a lot. Mm-hmm. Body neutrality is changing a lot. And Alex has really helped me manage my feelings while that's happening kind of in the world around me. And that I'd never expected that would be what would happen.
Thank you so much for sharing all of that. And I love that you highlighted, like, I think so many people come into this type of support and think it's going to be more of the traditional, like, here's what to eat, here's how to eat. But really, it's that dance with the dietitian of you recognizing, like, you have all of the power, like this, you know, your body better than anyone. Yes. And Alex and the Fine Food Freedom team is like there to support you and learn how to trust yourself again. A client once said to me, they're like, it's not intuitive eating, it's intuitive living. And I love that quote because I feel like it, like you said, it's, you find like it's not about the food. Like once you kind of strip back those layers, it's like, oh, it's not about the food. It's like how I feel about the food or like my emotions and all of that. And I love that you brought up the weight loss medications. That's something that is so, so commonly talked about in our sessions. And I think that that's something for listeners, like we always love to say, like, we do not judge people that want to take them. We understand why people are wanting to take them because the world we live in is so fat phobic. But for those who know, these medications aren't for me, right? This isn't something that I want. And it's really fucking difficult because everywhere I turn, the celebrities I love are getting smaller. The influencers are getting smaller. So what are some of the, I know you said Alex has supported you with that. Anything that's coming up for you of like, this was really helpful when we had those conversations. Anything that you want to share, would love to hear.
Honestly, the biggest thing is that Alex validates me in my frustration with not fitting into the world. So I mentioned I travel a lot. I connect through the Atlanta airport. I do not fit comfortably in the gate seats at the Atlanta airport. And that's like so disheartening every single time. And when I talk to Alex about it, you know, she just validates the fact that that's not fair to me. I'm like a human, you know, and it's not fair that there's not a seat that fits me. I also had a really bad experience with a doctor and I had posted on it about it on Instagram. And my friends, so many of them messaged me and said, just get on Ozempic. And it's like, But I had this really tough experience with a doctor. Like, as my friend, I want you to say, like, I'm sorry that happened to you. Mm-hmm. And that's something that Alex will do, but also remind me that I deserve that validation, that I deserve to be treated better. And she actually, in that scenario, helped me work out a response to that doctor the next time that I saw him, and like help him learn that the way that he treated me because of my weight wasn't fair to me. He didn't listen to all of my concerns. And, you know, what could he do in the future to talk to fat patients and maybe not make them feel that way?
Mm. Thank you so much for sharing all of that. And that's something, I don't know if you follow Vinnie Wellsby, but we have them coming on the podcast. They're an incredible anti-fat bias consultant, and that's like what their career is dedicated towards. But they just did a very large study and survey of, I believe it was like over 270 fat people and their experiences with medical weight stigma. So I will definitely share that with you, and I can put that in the notes below. But it's such a common experience, like you said, that you experienced. And it's such a shame, because we would love for all of our clients to have weight inclusive professionals, medical professionals, right? But sometimes that's just not the case, because one, they're hard to find. Yeah. Two, you know, the privilege of being able to find someone that's in network or in proximity to your home or that takes your insurance. But I love that you highlighted something you did in session with Alex, is learning how to advocate for yourself. Because if we can't find the right professional, it sucks that we have to be the ones that do the work, as in like you, like for yourself. But that is so incredible to hear that you felt like confident going in there, because we have hundreds and hundreds of clients that come to us saying, I have not been to a doctor or ex medical professional in years because I can't overcome the shame from these experiences that I've had. Mm-hmm. And we know that not going to the doctor is not going to benefit our health. But mm-hmm. again, I completely understand why people that reside in larger bodies wouldn't want to do that, because of medical weight stigma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think for me, you know, this particular thing was, I've had back pain since I was 16. When I was 16, I was not fat at all. And I've managed it through weight training and stretching my entire life. And then finally, it got to the point where I could not walk more than like 10 or 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. And after several different steps, I was referred to a pain doctor. And the first thing the pain doctor said to me was, how successful have your weight loss efforts been? Which, like, number one, just because I'm fat doesn't mean I'm trying to lose weight. Yeah. Number two, you don't know anything about my history with food, if I have a history of disordered eating. And you also don't know that I am literally a fucking weightlifter. Like, I work out with a personal trainer 3 to 4 times a week. I could have picked that man up and put him over my head. And then he had me do a series of exercises, like strength tests, mm-hmm. and then acted shocked every time that I could do them. And I'm like, okay, so fatty's very strong. Like, this has got nothing to do with my lifestyle. Like, I was doing that weightlifting and walking my dog 45 minutes every single day. And I'm a bird watcher. And during migration and stuff, I would go like 7 mile walks looking at birds. And now all of a sudden I can't do that. And it can't be because I'm fat. I've been fat a long time. So I need you to look past that as my doctor and help me find the true cause of what's making this happen. So yeah. And that's been like a really difficult road. Like, I've cried in his office, like to his face, and he has to work on his own biases. I can't change that. I live in the Southern US. I feel like, you know, medical care here is not that great to begin with. And then there is a lot of bias. So Alex actually tried to help me find health at every size doctors, and there just aren't any in my state. So, you know, it's really tough to deal with that bias. And, you know, I think a misconception about intuitive eating is that means that you eat Taco Bell every day, or like, and I've heard you talk about this too. There was someone once who had posted something about like, they love Taco Bell, and if they did intuitive eating, they need Taco Bell 3 times a day. Yes. Every day.
Yes. And it's like, on that.
Everybody, I think, has to go through that. Like, in the beginning for me, it was cake. I had cake all the time, mm-hmm. but then I got to a point where I started to pay attention to my body more and learn, you know, what makes me feel good, what doesn't make me feel good, that's not necessarily going to make you lose a ton of weight because you're following like that intuitive eating and listening to your body. Your body doesn't want 1200 calories a day, which is like what most doctors would recommend for you to eat to be able to lose weight. So yeah, it's like intuitive eating is not going to make you fat. It's not going to make you lose weight necessarily. It's just kind of, it's bigger than what your size is, and having a relationship with food that's better and less stressful. And like I said, with Ozempic, it does start to get tough. Cause like when you have friends that are on Ozempic and you go out to dinner and then they don't eat anything because they're nauseous. And it's like, you know, being the fat person at the table. Another thing that I've talked to Alex about a lot is through like the intuitive eating work that I did before and all the work that I've done with Alex, I talk to friends that have some sort of bad relationship with food, and I feel like I have the magic key and they don't want to listen because I'm not skinny. And that's so frustrating because it's like I had that same terrible relationship with food from like 12 years old. And I found the cure to it, but because it didn't make me skinny, it's like, not, my advice isn't good to you, which I mean, is a bummer to hear, but like it's all about the relationship more than anything else and being able to, you know, handle that.
Wow. You just threw so much at me. I'm like,
I don't know if you saw me.
Like in the best way. I don't know if you saw me like scribbling. I was like, okay, because my mom brain, I will not remember all of this, but I love so much. I want to respond to that. You said again, first, just thank you for your vulnerability and sharing. It's going to help so many people, but I love how you brought up like the myth of like what people think intuitive eating is versus what it actually is. And I think that comes from, you know, principle number three is make peace with food and having unconditional permission to eat. And when people hear that, they think that means eat everything and you have to eat everything. And it's like, no. You have the ability to. And because we come from dieting and we've restricted ourselves for so long, when we lift those rules and restrictions, of course we're going to want to eat all the cake or the Taco Bell or whatever. But once we're able to tap back in and trust ourselves and listen to our body's cues, which are so turned off, right, from years of dieting, then we get to figure out, like, what do I really want? Mm-hmm. So I love, I'm like, where should I go next? There's so many things that you said. Well, I also want to call on what you talked about with your pain doctor. This is such a common experience that we hear. And, you know, something I love to arm our clients with is like, first of all, that's so fucked up. That is medical weight stigma. And that is going to have negative effects on our health because that causes shame and judgment. And imagine going to that doctor without the support of Alex and our team, of like not having that person to validate your experience. But for those who experience that, I always love to say, like, if we can look at that doctor and say, what advice would you give me if I resided in a smaller body? Because we know that weight loss is not the cure to pain management. That means that everybody that resided in a smaller body would never experience back pain, right? And you said, you're like, I've had this pain since I was in a smaller body. Mm-hmm. So, so frustrating. And then something else I wanted to validate for you is that, and kind of respond to, is how difficult it is to be one of the only people in your friend group that walks away from dieting or that gives a big middle finger to diet culture, because so much of, and I'm going to say women, but this is everyone, but majority women, this is how women connect, is hating themselves, talking poorly about their body, what diet they're on, how to shrink themselves, how bad they were last weekend, right? Like with their food. And so that's another thing that we find we talk about a lot in session with clients, that you would never think that would be coming up before you start this process, but it's like, how do I exist in this world where I still want community? I still want friendship, but the people that, some of the people, a lot of the people, because diet culture is everywhere around me, are so immersed in this and I want nothing to do with that. Mm-hmm. And that's really difficult. And that's why, like, when we walk this journey, it's like, okay, how do I find community with people that also are like-minded in this way? Or how do I navigate these relationships where we don't need to just end all of our friendships, but how do we keep ourselves safe and navigate these murky waters?
Something that's helping with friends when they talk about their own bodies is, you know, if somebody says, oh my gosh, I'm so fat, you know, I'll say to them, would you say that to me? Would you, the negative self-talk that you're saying to yourself, which is so mean, would you say that same thing to me? And usually they're like shocked.
They're like, no, I would never.
Yeah. Well, if you wouldn't say it to me, then why are you saying it to yourself? I would never say that to you. So that I do have a friend that after that, I never heard her say anything bad about her body in front of me again. And hopefully she doesn't do it at all. But yeah, I never heard her say it again after that, because it's, I don't think people realize like how mean they are to themselves, you know? Mm.
Truly. I think a lot of this is rewiring that self-talk, right? And like yes. becoming compassionate and building respect with ourselves. Mm-hmm. Such an amazing point. So I want to do a little shift gear here where I asked you before we started recording, I said, I have your paperwork from June 7th of 2024. So almost a year ago to date, like a few weeks shy of a year. And on the paperwork, we always ask, like, what is your relationship with food? And what is your relationship with body? And we have three choices. We have pleasant, neutral, or unpleasant. And then we ask, why did you choose that? So I want to read what you wrote here, and then I would love to hear from you, like, just any thoughts that are coming up for you. Like, does that feel true today? Can you believe that you wrote that? Are we still kind of in that phase of working through something? So just anything you're willing to share with us.
Okay.
Okay. So I had asked, or we had asked on the paperwork, how would you describe your relationship with food? And you had selected unpleasant. And you said, I often feel guilty about what I eat, or I eat mindlessly. I still struggle not to eat out of boredom.
I don't do that anymore at all.
That's you're like, so that's funny. Not
I said that
me.
A year ago.
Isn't it crazy how much can change in a year? Like, did you ever think that you could be sitting here and none of that even feel remotely true?
Yeah, no, I don't. Yeah, I don't ever do that anymore. And I was actually thinking about it recently. Like, I just don't. I remember I used to have times where I'd be on the couch, like watching TV or something, and I'd think, I just want like a popcorn or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I don't do that anymore. That's so funny.
I love how you like your response is like, I'm just laughing. You're like, that's not me.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Like, let me make sure I have the right paperwork. Yes, I do. Okay. So next up we have, how would you describe your relationship with your body? And we had also selected unpleasant. And then here's what we wrote. So you said, I was feeling much better about my body in 2021, 2022. I had read Anti-Diet by Christy Harrison and was working on healing my relationship with food and my body. But I was sick a lot in 2022 and didn't eat much. So I lost some weight. I gained it all back in 2023 and started feeling negative again. With the new diagnosis of bone spurs in my back, I'm afraid a doctor is going to tell me to lose weight.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what happened. That's so funny. So yeah, that was literally what happened after that, was that I was told to lose weight. So I will say I do still struggle a little bit with that body image and how I feel about my body. And I wonder if that would be better for me if I could get like figure out, you know, the pain that I've been having and kind of get back to a more normal routine. But I will say that something that Alex has been really helpful with me about, because I have been really depressed about not being able to walk my dog, go birding, you know, another migration season has passed. And I literally moved to a place that's good for bird migration, for birding. But another migration season has passed where I really haven't been able to do much birding. And Alex has been so helpful in helping me find other ways to like have fun. You know, what do you do when your two main things that you do to enjoy your life are all of a sudden gone? How can you find something different to entertain yourself or to, you know, feel good about yourself? And that's something that Alex has really helped me strategize and kind of figure out how to be less depressed about what my body's able to do. So I would say like that has kind of shifted more from feeling bad about having gained that weight back to feeling bad about my body's abilities, like capability, what I can and can't do. And that's different, but Alex has still really helped me with it.
That's an incredible thing that you just highlighted there. Thank you for sharing that. And I just want to validate, like, discomfort and pain in our body sucks, right? Like, and like, it is a grieving process, what you're going yeah. through, of like letting go of something that brought you so much joy in this current season. Mm-hmm. But it sounds like, and I also want to say for listeners, and I actually just did a podcast on this last week, of like, I had a negative body image thought come up, and I kind of shared that, of like, I don't think it's ever over, right? Like, I don't think it's like we get to a point where it's like, I'm never going to have a negative thought, but mm-hmm. how we recover and how quickly we can find an and statement of like, mm-hmm. ooh, that's weird that that's coming up. I'm allowed to feel this way. And I'm very grateful for what my body can do. And I'm going to give myself compassion and respect and not let a negative thought completely derail our entire day, week, and then spiral into like self-harming behaviors yeah. because of that. Mm-hmm. So do you feel like that? Do you relate to that at all, or anything that's coming up for you as I share that?
Yeah, I think the first thing to note is that I don't rely on food when those feelings come up. So I don't make myself feel better by going to go get an ice cream cone or a snowball or something like that. Like, that's not my reaction anymore. And I have also learned to feel my feelings, and like, no feeling is bad, no feeling is wrong. But yeah, still kind of working on the, you know, being okay with where my body's at right now, especially because of the lack of movement. Like, that's just been really, really hard for me. But I am finding other ways to, you know, have fun and do things. And fortunately, I have friends that are really good about, you know, let's go to the park, but let's choose this park because they have lots of benches, and then I can take breaks and we can sit on the bench and chit chat. So
that's incredible. That's incredible. So I would love to hear from you, and you can say like two words, you could say a sentence, however long you want to go with this. But I would love to hear from you when I ask this question, what comes up for you? How has your life changed since working with Find Food Freedom?
Oh, that's a really good question. A couple things. So I would say first, I don't feel alone. So I know that I have someone I can go to for literally anything that comes up around my body or on food. Honestly, like, Alex isn't my therapist, but she will uncover things that cause me to feel like a certain way, almost in the way that a therapist does. So just feeling like I have a resource, I have someone I can go to when something really weird is happening, or when I have a certain, you know, feeling, or the last time I met with her, I was feeling very much like bored with all food and, you know, kind of relying on snacky junk food that never made me feel full. So like, I knew I didn't feel good eating what I was eating. And it was like, how can I kind of get excited about either cooking again or ordering food again or anything like that? And she was ready with strategies for me on how I could do that. So I've always got someone to go to give me help, I think, is the biggest thing.
That's incredible. And I totally relate with the food boredom thing too, because once food isn't this like thing that we lust anymore, it's like, oh, it's just yeah. food. And that's yeah. a really, really common thing that people experience on that intuitive eating journey, is like, how do I make it fun again? And how do I bring that joy back to it? Mm-hmm. And so if a friend came to you, Steph, and said, I'm considering working with the Find Food Freedom team, what would you say to them and why?
I would say absolutely. Like, check your benefits first thing, because if it's free, why not at least give it a try? Mm-hmm. But it's been so beneficial for me in finding that validation, getting help when I need it, knowing that Alex is always there, that she's always going to have some idea for me or something that I can do. I would say don't hesitate, just try it. It can't hurt to try, right?
That's what I always say, especially if it's free. That's awesome.
Free, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And now this has nothing to do with your journey, but you have said the word migration so many times on here, which I am obsessed. So I have a toddler and a baby, and we're obsessed with the movie Migration. Have you watched it?
Migration, like about birds?
A movie yes. called Migration about birds? It is an animated movie. It's on Netflix. You have to watch it and report back to me. Okay. It is all about a bird family that like doesn't migrate, but the kids and mom want to migrate, and then they end up migrating. That is your homework leaving this podcast.
I'll have to check it out. The one that I usually watch is The Big Year. It's like got Jack Black, Steve Martin, and Owen Wilson in it. And it's like about, so that's something birders will do, is they'll take an entire year and try to see as many species as possible.
Wow.
And it's the, it's based on a true story of like three like amazing birders who did that. So that's the big one that I watch. But yeah, I'll go watch that on Netflix. That's very cool.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you. It was so nice chatting with you, Steph.
Take care.
You too. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Find Food Freedom Podcast. Every single time you listen to an episode, it truly makes our dreams come true, helping people make peace with food, body, and movement. If you have not already, please make sure to head over to social media and give us a follow at find.food.freedom on Instagram or Find Food Freedom on TikTok. And if you resonated with today's episode and want more professional support, please head over to findfoodfreedomresources.com. This is where you can get your benefits checked to see if your health insurance will fully cover that one-on-one nutrition counseling with our team. And we also have so many other virtual resources there. So again, that's findfoodfreedomresources.com for all things Find Food Freedom and to get those health insurance benefits checked. If you have not already, I invite you to rate, review, subscribe, like, share this podcast with anybody that you think needs to hear it. The more that you share this podcast, the more that this message of intuitive eating and food freedom will be out in the world, which we so desperately need. Again, thank you for being here. I cannot wait to chat with you again soon on the next episode of the Find Food Freedom Podcast.